Tonight, I want to deal with the clothing of that antique, at least in a measure, and I trust that as we do look at it, it might again be a blessing to each and every one. You'll notice there in the first verse that we read that certain aspects of the clothing they brought before. And we see there that the person who brought before us is the blessing. It seemed to be prominent. I suppose it would be the first thing that met your eye when you gazed upon the high priest and his garments of glory and beauty. It is interesting that they come in the Septuagint version, the translation there is actually for glory and honor. The words that are used in connection with our Lord Jesus, of course, two or three times in the book of Hebrews. When we would see, certainly in chapter 2 and chapter 3, how the glory and honor has been placed upon the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these garments for glory and beauty are for glory and honor, without which we saw the other night he wouldn't minister. The garments were absolutely essential if this man was going to stand in the presence of God and minister. And that when we come into the presence of God, we saw how with divine equipment, suitable for the surroundings in which we're moving, God takes the man to move before him. But the first thing was this entrance, vessel. That was the first thing that brought before you. Though it is the second thing that dealt with in the chapter. We might say, shall it not, that in some respect, this was a prophetic garment. Because in it, or it was a bag, as we shall see by and by, in it were the Urim and the Thummim, whatever they were. And we're certainly told that it was the last day of judgment. That it wasn't to execute judgment, but it was to ascertain judgment. The idea behind it was to ascertain the mind of God for his people. That's why I call it, in a sense, the prophetic girl. The child of God, one thing we need to do, as we're moving before him, is to begin to ascertain the mind of God in all our movements. And as that people were moving before God, that Israel of old, they during the Thummim were to bring before them the mind of God in all our movements. But then the one who was the best place, we saw the second thing that's mentioned in verse 4 was the peacock. And we will see tonight how a dish is basically a priestly garment. And in trying to think, shall of God, perhaps it didn't have arms in it, from what I read. It was certainly a garment that Peter had just down the front and his thumb just down the back. And in fact, we have read together how it was joined at the top here by the pouches of gold and probably just placed across the head of the priest and joined at the top with the pouches of gold. And it seems to be just a garment that's from forward and backward and was made in two separate parts. In fact, I noticed that two is linked with it an awful lot of time when it comes to verses 5 to 14. And two, of course, is a number of testimony. So when we look a little bit, we will see how that this does bear testimony to priestly character. This is particularly the priestly robe. That to me, more the prophetic robe. The people of God placed upon his heart. For we shall see that here, as we read together, these stones would show me how that Israel has been placed upon the heart. For if they're going to be there, they must be there, child of God, according to the mind of God. But this role of this epoch, that is particularly the priestly garment, as we shall see by and by. Then there was this robe of blue. All of them. You may not see too much of it. But one thing is sure, this robe that went underneath was a robe of blue. That was a permanent garment. For we read how that there was a hole in the top, and that is a habergeon, a coat of mail, that it be not wretched. And this would bring before us the idea how that there must be permanent in connection with the priesthood. And then we read there was a mitre, and with it the mitre, the golden plate. And now let me see holiness to the Lord. Son of God, if I'm moving before God, then purity must not be. And it's holy when purity is here. But if my mind is clean, as when it is, it won't be hard for my hands to be clean. And it won't be hard for my feet to be clean. If my mind is clean. And it's here that God puts holiness to the Lord. So God will have purity in the mind in connection with his people. Now, the Apostle Peter would tell you in the epistle, or the summer Easter section, is the beginning of the pilgrim section of his chapter. When he comes to verse 11 of chapter 2 of Peter, he says, "Girdle the loins of your mind." A child of God, as I'm passing through the world, there's something more free growing than my mind. And that must be good enough. If I'm going to walk with purity before God, or when I'm going into the sanctuary, then I must know in advance in what he did it, to know something of purity, holiness, under the law. And then we notice the last of those garments. I'm sorry, we missed out the coat. He talks about a broidered coat. This is the garment here, the broidered coat. But when life next day is fresh, that child of God seems to need to be a personal garment. The garment that would tell me what character this man ought to bear as he's moving in the sanctuary before God. Because, of course, the linen garment only speaks of righteousness, and righteousness would mark him as he's moving in a personal way in the sanctuary. And then, of course, there was the girdle that is brought before us here. And that would speak of the service that the man would render. Well, those are basically the garments as they were set forth. And we're told again, they wore them that he may minister unto me. Without the child of God, he couldn't minister. They gave him a divine gift. Now what I wanted to do is to take a look at the garments, little by little, and if we can draw just a few things from them that might be a help to us. The first one this deals with is that priestly garment, as we have it there in verse 6, where it says, "And they shall make the ephod of gold." We did notice, didn't we? The gold is the dominant thing that marks all of the priesthood. We saw in connection with the tabernacle, it wasn't gold, it was jewelry. When you look at the tabernacle, it's blue, purple, scarlet, fine twine. But when you come to the priesthood, it's gold, blue, purple, scarlet. In fact, I don't think child of God in connection with the garment, and the people with the keycard, there are two things. There's one a metal, and then a material. The metal is first, the material is last, and in between there are three colours. He says, "You'll make the keycard of gold." And then he brings in the colours, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, and then the material. The fine, fine linen with cunning work. So the first thing that dominates that would bring before us the gold of deity. And as we have seen the other night, how that with this priestly man, it was gold that dominated. The child of God. Obviously, Aaron does bring before us the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're asking why the need for a high priest. Child of God in all that God has. There is always order, and there are always those that God would give authority to in connection with every sphere. It's your highest elders, it's princes, as well as its people. With the angels, there's archangels, as well as angels. Even with the angels, there are princes, amongst the angels. We saw that in the book of Daniel. You remember amongst the cherubim, there is the anointed cherub. As well as the cherubim. In all things we've got, there are principalities and powers. Government is always associated with the things of God. So it's not surprising when it comes to a priesthood. There is one that stands out above them all. He is the high priest. For he became in the priesthood, for as we saw in the opening of Exodus chapter 28 on Saturday night, we saw he wasn't one man alone. But it was a whole family that was moving for God. And as a whole family, they weren't moving as priests, but they were moving in a priesthood. And you'll anoint Aaron and his sons that he may minister unto me. Not that they may minister unto me. The child of God, they were all moving in the bones of the one man. And it's quite evident that the high priest obviously quite comes to the person of our Lord Jesus. So look in our New Testament. If there is a high priest in Israel, tell God, you have a great priest. And the Lord Jesus, he has termed the great priest, the great high priest. He is termed a high priest, but he's termed a great high priest, and he's termed a great priest. But this is obviously looking on the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereas the priest, they will look on to you and me. So when I come to look at these times, I will find teachers here that must remind me of the lovely person of our Lord Jesus. Child of God, how is he taken up to his heart? Well, we read the other day how he qualified in the realms of humanity. But as in everything else in the book of Hebrews, child of God, he takes up his priesthood not from the grounds of humanity, but from the grounds of dear faith. He that said, thou art my son, son of God, set off with another faith, thou shalt be forever out of your order of Melchizedek, and when I look at this, and we shall see some reminders of this now, I suppose, frankly. That bold child of God, when they made it, they didn't only place the strands of gold through here, but in chapter 39, we're told how they beat the gold out in the past, and then they cut it into strips. And they're told how that they bore that gold through the very colours themselves. It was woven into the blue, woven into the purple, woven into the scarlet, woven right through the whole of the material and colours. Became one thing. Couldn't be separated from. Seeing that it had been in my blessed loyalty. As we shall see in a moment. Deity will shine out for it all, child of God. For the goal ever brings before us, him that is God, manifest in flesh. And so when he has said, thou art my son, and let me tell you, child of God, I'm very glad tonight. But the man that ministers on my behalf is none less than God. I say it's a lovely thing to look back to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And it's lovely to look at that verse which tells us that we have a great high priest who is passed through the heavens through Jesus. Now we look at that when we came to look at that fine thing. For if the gold brings before us deity, shall it not, the fine linen must bring before us humanity. And woven into that, we discover these colours of blue, purple and scarlet. But all goes up to make the perfect man, who is God. And the deity of God that became a man. Well, you've done it before, haven't you? You cannot separate. You cannot turn around and tell me certain things he did as God. And you can't tell me that there are certain things he did as man. Oh, I know there are things that will show me as a man. He is a longer, my Lord. He neither hung nor priest, my Lord. But can the God he that slept in the hand of the man of the boat? Thing. And you couldn't divorce. You couldn't separate. And tell me, here he is as a man, and when he stands to tell the storm of a deity.
Well, obviously, here he can do it, but child of God, the one that rose that day with Jesus, that quelled the storm. And the storm has to be subservient to the claims given of him that took his place in humanity. Son of man. Remember this, please. Son of man is not a title that is for this humanity, is it? Child of God, Son of man is an eternal title.
What did you see the Son of man? Go where he was before. No man has ascended into heaven save the Son of man who is in heaven.
And here he is talking to me, as to Nicodemus, just outside the walls of Jerusalem. It was already even in Jerusalem.
But he talks of the Son of Man who is in heaven, talking to a man here upon the earth.
Son of God is just as much an eternal title as ever Son of God is an eternal title. But whereas Son of God will give him a relationship with the Father, Son of Man gives him a relationship with Earth. And gives him supremacy as far as Earth is concerned. But we go for that now, because we see opening to all things with the gold. And it is all with the fine, fine linen, the deity, the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the beautiful thing. And he got carried away, didn't I? But I don't mind enough, because I'm not a servant here. Don't mind servants too much. They get a wee bit dry now. And they don't give me much, I'm afraid. But anyway, who is it? Jesus. Son of God. That's the one that's come in, child God. And I married Jesus. And that is all God about me. And that is God to you. As we saw a little yesterday, I'm glad of this. And I'm glad, child of God, the one that soon helps humanity and passes through humanity. And I'm glad when I approach that throne of grace. Oh, though deity is upon the throne, bless God. I know he that's on the throne, he was here in true humanity. And bless God, he knows all about my needs, and he knows everything I'm passing. For it's not only Jesus, child of God, he's Son of God, he can do something about it. So when your Lord takes up his priesthood, the first thing that marks him is that which speaks of his gold. That's why again Hebrews chapter 10 would tell it. And an Melchizedek that was made right unto. Now you remember what the Lord Jesus was made right now Melchizedek. Though Melchizedek, historically, he was the scene before the Lord Jesus Christ. If Melchizedek has made like Christ, Christ is not made like Melchizedek, because eternally my Lord ever was long before Melchizedek. Made like unto who? Son of God. Without father, without mother, without beginning of day, without end of life. On the last verse of chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, being in that gold again. That was my son. Jesus, Son of God. May life unto Son of God. Without father, without mother, without beginning of day, without end of life. And says the last verse of chapter 7, the Lord made us men high priests from the night of the dead. He's a man. But the word of the oath which is since the law, consecrated Son. Furthermore, Son of God, he takes up his priesthood on the grounds of deity. The awesomeness of this blessed one, the table of these joining in mind, the gold, is woven through every particle of that priestly garment. Then we notice that the one made of the gold, it says you'll make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet. And after he's introduced the gold, now he introduces the colours. And when he goes to look at those colours, they're lovely, aren't they? The blue, kind of God, what is happening before. Who is this one that's gone into the sanctuary today? Why, he's not less than the Lord out of heaven. That's who he is. And in this wonderful into the church of our Lord Jesus, is him that bears the heavenly character. He's not of the earth, earthly child of God. The first man was. That's where failing stand from, but he's the Lord of the end. And when I think of the blue, I think of him that's heavenly in character and knowledge. Would be lovely, wouldn't it, today? Just as they go look at that blue. And to see it in the warp and woof of the life of your blessed Lord of passing here, for remember this, who in the days of his flesh, the child of God qualifying for priesthood, and he took his place in humanity, I can see the gold,
the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread. Oh, my Lord supplies every year, doesn't he? The water of wine. You know, sometimes I feel like stopping too and just giving a few little details. What will we do? But they do tell me the gold. For the blue child of God. Look at this blessed one that is passing through here. I can see all of that one is doing. And they ask the question, from whence have this man these miracles? Child of God, they just can't understand it. His mother we know, his brethren we know. But they realized that he was more than just Jesus and that. But I never heard it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. Never before had there been one that had had this scene like the first of our Lord Jesus. The child of God, everything your blessed Lord did, everything my blessed Lord did, it had the very mark of it. And the broom came shining through. For remember, please, according to the book of Exodus chapter 39 and verse 3, over into that blue, there was the gold. And over into that purple, there was the gold. And over into that scarlet, there was the gold. Over into all these colors. So that when you see that blessed one, the Lord out of heaven, child of God, he's no mere angel. For angels have more than a hundred. And the book of Hebrews would tell me, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Still valid, isn't it? And that the Scotland's not just quite as bad as England, you know. Because if they forgot whatever came of his in England, I don't know what's the matter with them. You're happy that it isn't like the cup of tea. Mind you, there's more in there, they can entertain strangers than just give them a week of tea, isn't there? And there's more in entertaining at the face of God than just inviting them round to the house for a week of tea. You see the idea behind the thought of entertaining strangers and thereby sort of entertaining angels unaware, the idea, child of God, is looking to all the material needs, whatever they might be. So there's more than just inviting a few saints back and give them a cup of tea, but there'll be one on the table, you know. That's easily done. It won't cost you much, will it? In fact, it'll be very enjoyable. But child of God, there's more to it than that, I think, I guess. But the idea of entertaining said strangers is the idea of coming to all the material needs. And there might be times, you know, in the face of God here, he'll need an entertainment. And I'm not thinking of just being invited around for a cup of tea. There might be need for the scene. And there might be a face of God passing through difficulties. That's the hour when you'll be seen. How much you can care for faith. I've seen a man in the book of Judges today. In connection with these calls, by the way. When he came to the city, they left him in the street. It was just an old man coming home late. I suppose he'd been a long time to take a really step home from the field, you know. And he was really late than the rest. They found him in the street. They took an old man to take him in. We're not going to the tragedy that came from it. Read yourself in the book of Judges. But it's against them that they be false, you know. Gideon made an ephod, child of God. It was a tragedy, wasn't it? It was wonder his name got changed to Jerubbaal. And it was wonder that one of his offspring turned over the face to destroy his 70 sons upon a stone and did the usurp upon a day, because that ephod that he turned over the Gideon name that should cause the children of Israel to go holy. The priest began with this thing. We need to be careful, child of God, that again we don't substitute for his of God. And we need to be careful in these reactivity. And we don't try and make something that is going to be suitable for the
by the way, when men start wearing earrings, that tells me what they are too, you know, they're traditional. Then they're French. I had one at home dinner week, I'm not chastised for people, I don't want him to get too far, you know. They tell me he was in fellowship. So he's a very bad company. It made me start to wonder whether there was a work of grace in his soul, and I was not at the point to see it up here, you know. He was certainly a man of the flesh. Ishmaelite character. The Ishmaelite character that comes out, you know, with earrings. And I've noticed in my Bible that they are a potential for idolatry. And I've noticed this, that for some unknown reason now the things of God seem to like them. I've not found the reason for it. It's just expensive, and all they do is run in a week in a flesh, it seems to me. Well, maybe it's good to get rid of the flesh, but not that way now. Deal with the flesh, shall we call, but do it spiritually. So that's what Gideon made his equal out of, child of God. He made it out of his earrings of an end that the family gave it to him, and it was fine. Let's go back here, shall we, for a moment. It's not good to wonder too much. All that in the gate was only the gold, but the gold from the blue was all out of heaven. But child of God, with it, there was the purple too. And I say it, I like this truth, for he's the one that ministers for me today and preaches the family at the right hand of God. I tell you, there's not only him who is God manifested fresh, the Lord out of heaven, could one thing tell the fullness of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, purple, the regal, the colour of kings. There he was, the seller of purple. Let God when the divine within the heart. To get to know the things of God, isn't it? Whose path the Lord opened, well that wasn't the means of a salvation, you know. He opened it that you might give attention to the Word of God. You see, child of God, that you'll not get saved until, but I will not get saved until he gives attention to the Word of God. And things of God will not grow until they give attention to the Word of God. Whose path the Lord opened, that he listened. When they start listening to the word, then it will have an effect. But he was the color of purple. And purple, child of God, is the color of kings. Who is this? That has gone on high. That ministers for you and ministers for me. Oh, child of God. We can see him there. That the Bible tells me, he cannot call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We can see this wonder, who the people ask, from whence hath this man these miracles? Who is he? He's the Lord out of heaven. But shall it come? He's also King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords. I meant to tell you this, shall it come? I know I've thought some strange things in my younger days. Don't you believe it's not after the sins? Or it could be manifested back to the world. For you have already come into the kingdom. And when Paul is going to bring practical character upon the minds of the saints, he's been manifested in the kingdom. Not the church. And it's the book of Ephesians, by the way, that talks about the church. That tells me when he comes to living after God, how I ought to live, he brings out kingdom truth. So I am the church, child of God. But I'm also here in responsibility in the kingdom. And it's how I am in the kingdom today that will tell how I'm going to reign in that coming kingdom in the day to come. The man got rid of that blessed one who, even in association with monarchy, as he comes here into this scene, child of God, don't forget, when he's standing there on yonder cross, it wasn't to be beat, but it was one of his. And the king is power. And the Hebrew is really big help. Him that destroys him that has the power of death, that is the devil. And what does the book of Colossians say? But I tell you, child of God, the word of the devil was always drawn sight of God there at Calvary Cross. And yet the book of Colossians chapter 2 would bring it out beautifully, how that he destroyed the prince of Malibu and powerless. And made a show of them openly, triumphing over their enemies. Mighty conquest took place at Calvary. The child of God, Jesus, the Son of God, became king. The greatest of the foes, the king defeated him. Just as David might have taken five stones and used one against the Goliath. So the Lord Jesus, the weapons of his warfare, too, not carnal, according to 2 Corinthians, just as yours ought not to be. And child of God, when he went to me, he took one trunk, and he took the five of them, that tender to him, will take out the book of Deuteronomy, he not respect. Oh, but to bring them up, Satan's power. Do you know we should go on in Matthew, couldn't we? The child of God is suddenly not the right person to have the right place of birth and the prepared former, and he's suddenly got the power to lead. Yes, God. I mean, we could put it on those common laws for the kingdom too, wouldn't we? But we could see the Christian city. You know, chapters 8 and 9, they're lovely chapters of child of God. They're going to bring before you the monarchy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to do for the people what the Lord King could ever do. He comes to relieve every affliction. To relieve every time. To bring them into a realm that only the kingdom of God can do. That's why the Lord is for him. When he reigns, child of God, he has the power to do everything that King God can do.
The Son of God, you know. He's bent upon the Son of God.
Over in the Marquis Box.
The gold, the blue, the purple.
Now listen, the scarlet too. And when I take a look at that scarlet, you know how it came into being. They tell me it's the cochineal that came as a result of a worm being crushed. And the dye that came out of that crushed worm, that was the dye that went up to make the scarlet.
You see, I don't only see the regal glories of our Lord Jesus, and don't only see the heavenly character of God the other Son. I'm not looking merely at him who is the Lord from heaven, or King of kings and Lord of lords. But I'm looking at him that's the past, the savior of the world, the child of God, and seeing the one that passed through deep suffering. And seeing the one that knew all the agonies of trouble. Is it a time for everything? I am a burden and no man. It is time for the Lord. I will be shooting him. No duty of me should desire him. He looks at everything for the Father's heart. Come down to heaven. Peter's grasp the reason of it enough. When he thinks again of what you are and what I am in the world, when the world is come and it says they count it strange that you run not with them. I tell you, they must have counted it very strange that my blessed Lord Jesus is too. They have never seen the light this wide. Different to every other man that ever walked with them. There was no guile here, was there? There was no shouting of spirit here. There was no backbiting here. The only ever went around to equals. You know, they'd never seen each other, God. They couldn't stand it. And they don't see anything was trapped in that. In that very action, who does he become? But the savior of the world, woven into his character. The man who's come as high as a priest, is he here? You see the Lord of the temple. You see him in his regal glory. You see him, the suffering man. Child of God, this is the man that's acting as a priest on your behalf. And remember, the last thing he said, there in connection with that garment, he said, and fine twine linen with coming back. The twine linen, interwoven, you see. Which would tell me that all into his character. God when he was here, didn't it? And we don't subscribe to those that would try and tell us in the book of Corinthians chapter 2 that he laid aside his DNA. Couldn't do that, could he?
Son of God, he couldn't lay aside anything. That's why the Bible calls him God with us. There isn't any revelation of deity in an Old Testament time.
Whatever happened, God is with us. But child of God, he is when Christ came. That's the revelation, dearly.
God. And he didn't lay aside anything.
And he did veil it.
But even though veil, oh child of God, it has to shine through. That's why John could say, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When that miracle took place, he manifested forth his glory.
Child of God, when we look at that gold dominating, I suppose whichever way you turn, you will see nothing but gold glittering through it.
If you turn another way, the blue will glisten through it. And another way, you know just how long I caught it, that you would have been seeing the purple of the scarlet.
And the fine linen you couldn't see. The child of God, when that breath of one took up humanity, he took up humanity for him. And he was much an animal soul today. But he was on a pilgrim on the ark. Or he died on a non-Israel. Your priest, my priest, Jesus, the Christ. I'm a little. There's a lot more to say to him. What we'll do tomorrow night, I'm sorry, we'll take a week. That's all up in the connection with this priestly life. We'll look at this stuff. He might be there. And we'll look at this stuff in the connection with it. Or just sufficient enough. As we take a look at that evil, to see how it brings it forward, the whole character of him, that the priest on your behalf, and mine, at the right time.